Mr. Yi's New Year, Part 1. Some 600 years ago, on New Year's Eve, Mr. Yi was on his way home after being gone for almost a year. In his sack was a silver Wan Pao, the salary for a year's teaching in a private school some 70 li away. Mr. Yi was very happy. He knew his wife would be waiting for him and for the money as well. She needed the money to buy food and wine for the New Year's Eve dinner. No Chinese could afford to miss New Year's Eve dinner. It was the most important meal of the year, even more important than the dinner on New Year's Day. The Chinese always believed that a well-provided New Year's Eve dinner would usher them smoothly into a prosperous New Year. A typical New Year's Eve feast would include Sichuan, or four holes, a whole chicken, a whole duck, a whole fish, and a whole leg of pork. Four kinds of cold meat, pa pao fan, or eight treasure rice, a sweet rice dish with eight ingredients, and pa pao sai, the eight valuables, which is made of eight different kinds of vegetables and soy beans. If people could afford it, they would cook enough to last for the 15 days of the New Year celebration. It not only showed that they were well off enough to have food left over from the previous year, it also let them enjoy visiting with relatives and friends during the holidays, without having to worry about cooking. Mr. Yi was quite sure that his wife had used up every penny she had, and was waiting for rice to put into the pot, as the saying goes. He wished he had wings, so he could fly back home and give that silver Wan Pao to his wife right away. As he walked on, he started to plan the menu for the New Year's Eve dinner. He knew that they would probably not be able to buy four holes, but at least his wife could get some pork and cook his favorite, Hung Xiao Ju, pork stewed with red wine and red soy bean sauce, which he would definitely wash down with his favorite rice wine. What happened in the next few seconds was almost too sudden to describe. Mr. Yi saw a woman run toward the river, just about to throw herself in. It was A Kin Sao, he realized, the wife of Carpenter A Kin. He rushed to stop her, and in a flash, A Kin Sao was caught in his arms. "Let me go," she cried. "Let me go." But Mr. Yi would not let go. "A Kin Sao," he said, "you mustn't end your life like this. What is the matter?" "Let me die," cried A Kin Sao. "I have not heard from A Kin for a whole year. He has either died or abandoned me. The rent on our land is long overdue, and now the landlord wants to sell my daughter, Ying Hua. I don't know what to do." "Don't worry," said Mr. Yi. "I am sure A Kin has just been delayed." "It can't be true. Since he left home a year ago, he has not written or even sent a message to me. I know he is dead. Oh, let me die," cried A Kin Sao. But the more she struggled, the tighter Mr. Yi held on. "I am certain A Kin did write," said Mr. Yi. He was thinking hard for words. Suddenly, A Kin Sao stopped struggling. "So you have a letter for me?" Mr. Yi let go of her and pretended to search his pockets. Then he smiled apologetically. "No, I don't have a letter." "Oh," cried A Kin Sao. She started for the river again. "Don't, don't," said Mr. Yi. "A Kin didn't ask me to bring you a letter, but he sent you some money." He took out the precious silver Wan Pao, rubbed it carefully on his robe, and handed it to A Kin Sao. A Kin Sao broke into a big smile as she took the Wan Pao. "Ying Hua is saved! Buddha protects us! Thank you, Mr. Yi." Mr. Yi watched A Kin Sao hurry away. "There goes my New Year's Eve dinner," he mumbled to himself. With heavy steps, he walked slowly toward home. Sure enough, Mrs. Yi was standing by the door when he arrived. "Old man, here you are! I was worried that something might have happened. You must be tired. I'll get you some water to wash your face." After Mr. Yi had washed his face and sat down at the table, Mrs. Yi said, "Old man, was this a good year for you?" "Oh, it was a good year. I earned a silver yuan pao." "Thanks be to Buddha! Now we can have a decent New Year's Eve dinner. Where is it?"
"Old woman, I don't have it anymore."
"What? What did you do with it?"
I gave it to A. Kin Sao. Her rent is overdue, and she has not heard from A. Kin for a whole year. She was about to drown herself."
"But what are we going to do? We don't have any food in the house. Couldn't you at least have saved part of it for us?"
"I told her that it was from A. Kin. If I hadn't, she would not have taken it."
"But are we supposed to starve in the new year? We can't go to bed with empty stomachs. You will have to go and borrow some money."
So Mr. Yi went out to borrow money. He knew that New Year's Eve was the worst time to do such a thing. Not only because people were busy cooking dinner, but also because they believed that borrowers could bring them bad luck in the new year. Almost every door was shut in Mr. Yi's face, and when a man finally handed him a small package, all he got was some dirt wrapped in a piece of paper. Tired and disappointed, Mr. Yi went home. "Let's go to bed and not think about dinner," he said to Mrs. Yi.
"I am too hungry to sleep," said his wife.
"Can't you do something?"
"What do you want me to do?"
"At least you can get us some sweet potatoes from the fields."
"Those sweet potatoes don't belong to us."
"Come over. Let me whisper into your ear."
Mr. Yi leaned over.
"What? You want me to steal?"
"Shh, shh. Don't use that word. Say, move."
"That's the same thing. I am not going to do it." "Old man, are you going to starve us to death?" Mrs. Yi began to cry.
Finally, Mr. Yi decided that he had to move some sweet potatoes into their home, whether he liked it or not. So he took a basket and a knife and walked toward the fields. The sweet potato field belonged to a widow, Liu Xiao, and her only son, young Xiao Pao. Now Liu Xiao knew that New Year's Eve was usually a good time for people to steal sweet potatoes, since she would be busy cooking the New Year's dinner. This year, Liu Xiao decided to take extra precautions. She walked her son to the fields to stand guard and promised to relieve him when she finished cooking dinner. Xiao Pao settled down in the tent his mother had pitched in the fields. He blew out the lamp and sat in the darkness. If somebody was going to come and steal, Xiao Pao had to catch the thief by surprise. He had a heavy stick, almost as tall as himself, which he would use to strike the unwelcome visitor. It would be a blow that no thief could ever forget. After a long wait, during which he nearly fell asleep more than once, he saw a tall figure creep surreptitiously into the small chapel at the edge of the field, where the Tu Ti Pu Sa, the Buddha of Earth, was worshipped. "I'd better go and take a look," he said to himself. Since he was used to walking in the dark, he got into the temple and hid behind the altar in no time. A man was kneeling in front of the altar. In the dim candlelight, Xiao Pao was surprised to see that it was his former teacher, Mr. Yi. Kowtowing incessantly to the statue of Tu Ti Pu Sa, Mr. Yi said, "Tu Ti Pu Sa! Tu Ti Pu Sa! Tell me what I am supposed to do." Akin Sow almost killed herself because Akin didn't come home. So I gave her my silver Wan Pao. Now my wife and I are going to starve. My wife wants me to move some sweet potatoes from the fields. Do you think it is all right for me to do so? If you think so, please show me a sign. Mr. Yi stood up, picked up the qian holder from the altar, drew out two qian, and threw them on the ground. Then he closed his eyes and prayed. Qian are fortune-telling sticks people use to seek advice when they are not sure what to do. The qian have long and short lines engraved on each side. The way to work the qian is to throw two or three on the ground and read the pattern they form. A certain pattern will represent a go-ahead sign. When Xiao Pao heard what Mr. Yi was praying about, he laughed silently. Ha ha! Let me play Tuti Pusa, he said to himself. While Mr. Yi's eyes were all closed, Xiao Pao crawled under the altar and looked at the qian. They did not form a go-ahead pattern. He quickly flipped one qian over and crawled back under the altar. Mr. Yi opened his eyes, bent down, and looked at the qian. They formed a go-ahead pattern. He smiled. Tuti Pusa, you approved this. Thank you. But just to be sure, could you give me the sign one more time? He threw two more qian to the ground, closed his eyes, and prayed again. Xiao Pao, trying hard to keep from laughing aloud, crawled out to make sure that the qian formed a go-ahead pattern. Go ahead again, cried Mr. Yi. Oh, Tuti Pusa, please give me the sign once more. As soon as I get some money, I will buy incense to honor you. He worked the qian again, and of course, he was not disappointed.